Praise God. I want to start out today just by reading the passage that that we're going to talk about. And it is in the book of Matthew, chapter 22. It's very familiar to us. We've studied it several times before. But starting in verse 35, one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Now we read this, I've heard people read this passage and make some strange things out of it. Just completely turn it around from what Jesus is trying to say here. And I think it's a mark of our culture and what's happened to us. And it's not really a new thing. It's been common to man ever since Eve was tempted in the garden and Adam with her. But we're focused on ourselves. You hear a lot now about self-esteem. We want to build up kids' self-esteem. Everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a trophy. It's just good enough that you showed up. Our standards in our schools are lowered so that everybody can feel like they succeed. Doesn't matter whether you really do or not, just so long as you feel good about yourself. I read somewhere else that even though our students are something like 50th, you know, I forget, we're way down the scale as far as math performance among other countries in the world. But we think, our kids think they're the best. Because that's what we say. We say everybody's the best. And it affects our young people in a very negative way. Not to say that we really have to have our selfishness nurtured. It does pretty well on its own. But we developed a sense of entitlement. And we have a right to everything. And we have a right to feel good and have what we want. And it causes us to reject the gospel message. Because that's not what the gospel message says. It calls on us. Certainly, salvation is a gift to all of us. But then it calls on us to act. You don't have to work to get it. But it requires something of us once we have it. And we don't want to hear it. Maybe it requires us to stay awake.
I am awake. I'm just yawning because I'm hungry.
I love you. That was just too good to pass up. Anyway, not that such rejection is a new thing. We've been finding ways throughout history to reject God's truth. We don't necessarily need any help from anything that's going on today. But we've made it that much easier by the way that we present things, by the way that we think. And I've heard people ask this question. I've been asked, do you love yourself? And up until 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have said, no, not really. Don't really think that I do. But I've got a new perspective on that now. And I would have to say, yeah, I guess I do. Maybe a little too much. Yeah. You know, there's some things we ought not to agree with, John. But we say, how can you, what happened, we read this passage and we focus that part, as you love yourself, and sometimes the question gets asked, and I may have asked it, well, how can you love others as you love yourself if you don't love yourself? But that, to me, completely turns this passage on its head. Because it changes our focus. Now, instead of focusing on the love for others and the love for God that is the focus of what Jesus is saying here, all of a sudden now we're looking at ourselves. Well, how is it that we love ourselves? Gotta love ourselves or none of this matters. Well, that's exactly the opposite. We've got to love God or nothing else matters. We've taken the focus off of God, off of our neighbor, and put it right back on us. And Jesus, I believe, is just acknowledging the fact we love ourselves. We love ourselves quite a lot. We put ourselves first. But instead, we ought to be putting God first, and then others, then ourselves. But let there be no doubt that we do love ourselves. You know, there's a passage that always bothered me just a little bit. It's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. And it's part of a larger discussion. I always like to point out that there's context when I pick something out like this. And this is a context of a husband's love for his wife. But I want to just read this one little part because it always kind of threw me. Because it says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ loves the church, or does the church." Well, I thought, well, don't I know people? You know, they may be sick, there may be something wrong, but don't I know people that hate themselves? Haven't I at times hated myself? So how can it say no one ever? Yet I looked at several translations. There doesn't seem to be any other way to translate that, so I have to assume that it's true. And if that's true, then what's really going on when we're dealing with self-hatred? How is it so? There must be something else going on. Now, granted, you have people that have mental illness that may mistreat themselves. Sometimes I believe there are demonic influences involved. And I think sometimes even that comes out of a self-centeredness that's allowed to go totally awry and never corrected. But what is it? Ultimately, self-hatred is self-absorption. We're so consumed with ourselves, that's all we can see. And we're looking at ourselves in that mirror, and we don't like what we see. Maybe we don't like the way we look. Maybe we don't like something internally about ourselves, but it's all about us. We're not really hating ourselves. We're hating these attributes of ourselves that we wish we could change. Because we want to be perfect. We want to be this image that we have of ourselves. And we're not that image that we have of ourselves. And so we're upset. And we hate that. We compare ourselves to this image. But the only image we need to compare ourselves to is God. Because we're made in His image. And guess what? We're always going to fall short. But that's why He did what He did. Are there things we should hate about ourselves? Yeah. There are. We should hate the things that God hates. Amen. But that's different. That's different because what's motivating that is our love for God. So what about people that kill themselves? What about suicide? It's ultimately a selfish act. We think, and it denies God. It says to God, "You're wrong. There's something that's so wrong with me that I can't live anymore, or my situation is so bad. You can't fix it. You're not all powerful. You can't fix this mistake. You messed up, and there's nothing to be done about it. And I'm just gonna take it on myself." And we may not think that way, but that's what we're doing. And it refuses to serve Him any longer. And it hurts those who love us. It's an act of arrogance to say that we think we know how others feel about us. We might think that, well, nobody loves you. Nobody loves me. But we don't know people's hearts. And I can tell you with absolute certainty that if you're here today, sitting in one of these chairs, it is impossible for you to say that nobody loves you. Because people here love you. It says that we know our future, that we have already been able, just like God, it makes us as if we're taking the place of God, because we know our future and there's no possibility of redemption, so we're going to take our own lives. But we're not the judge of our lives. And I don't know about you, and I've been in this place, I'll confess, I've been in this place. I have been so depressed and thought that, just really don't want to do this anymore. But I don't want to stand before God that way. I don't know, I am not going to stand up here and tell you that if somebody is mentally disturbed and they're a Christian and they take their own life, that they're going to hell. That's not for me to say. I believe in the grace and mercy of God. But I tell you what, I don't want to stand before Almighty God knowing that I'm there because I took my own life and took and stood in opposition to Him in that fashion. Said to Him, "Oh, you were wrong. I had to do it my way. I couldn't do it your way." I don't want to stand before Him like that. When I stand before Him, I want to be because it's time. Because I've done everything that He told me to do on this earth, and because, and I can hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's how we want to stand before God as believers. And we don't want to stand before God as unbelievers. So is it okay? Is it ever okay to love yourself? Yes, in the context of God's love for us, it is absolutely okay to love yourself. You are unique. Psalm 139 says you are fearfully, one way to translate that, it says remarkably and wonderfully made. You are special to God because you are here as He created you, uniquely and special. You are valued by God. Yes, it's okay to love that. But you see the difference in perspective. You love what God loves. He gave it all for you. He loves you that much. What did that passage say that we just got through reading? We're supposed to love like He, just as we love ourselves, which is just as He loves us. He gave everything for us. How dare we criticize and belittle His creation? And you know what? I'm guilty. I've been guilty as early. I don't think I did it this morning. I might have. I know I did it yesterday. I get so upset with myself, I make one little mistake and I say, "You idiot." And just go on and on. How dare I? How dare I talk like that? God made me special. God loves me. How dare I criticize and say that God's creation is worthless or stupid? And how dare you? But you see, the focus shifts. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's not about who we are. It's about who He is. So let's go back and look at Jesus' words in that light. We do love ourselves. There's not really any question about that in most cases. We're pretty infatuated with ourselves. We spend a lot of time on ourselves. The universe revolves around us. We have to constantly fight that. You know, as people who believe in God, we know that's not the right way to be, but it's a constant battle, isn't it? We constantly have to fight that selfishness. Selfishness doesn't take any effort. It comes natural.
Yep. Yes.
We have to make constant decisions not to be that way, because we'll fall. Just the way we are. Jesus says, love God with everything that you are. And with that same attention that you normally focus on yourself, focus that on your neighbor. Focus that on other people. What do? We look out for our physical needs first and foremost, don't we? He says, look out for other people that way. Make sure their physical needs are met. We look out for our emotional needs, don't we? We do everything we can to make sure that we're loved, to make sure that we have friends. We want people to like us. We go out of our way to try to meet those emotional needs. He's saying, do that for other people. Lavish that kind of care on other people. Make sure other people know that they're loved. Make sure other people have their emotional needs yet met. Go be a friend to somebody who needs a friend. Take care of each other. Lavish that same concern that you're so willing to lavish on yourself, on those around you. That's what he's saying here. And spiritual needs, too. We ought to be involved. I read a very good book by Joel Rosenberg, and I forget the other guy's name. I think the other author actually did most of the writing. He's recently passed away. But it was on discipleship. If I was going to mention that, I should have remembered the title, but I can't remember the title. But it was emphasizing the importance of discipleship. What did Jesus say? He said, go and make disciples of all nations. So we ought to be looking after each other in the spiritual realm as well. Helping each other to grow. Teaching one another. Every one of us ought to be under someone's mentorship. And I can't really say that I can point to one person and say, yeah, that person is my mentor. I'm learning a lot from Pastor. I guess that's the closest I'm coming right now. And I have a lot more that I can learn from him. And then we also ought to be mentoring and teaching someone who is quote unquote, less further along than we are, and showing them the things that God has taught us. Mm-hmm. But Jesus says these commands are equal. Loving God with everything you are and loving your neighbor as yourself. Why would he say that? I think he says that because the way that we love God is by loving others. Because he loves others, and that's what he did. He gave himself for all of us, so we ought to be giving ourselves for one another. We all have flaws. We know that we have flaws. Even those who are most arrogant among us know that they have flaws. In fact, I think probably they know it better than most of us. And I say they as if I've never been arrogant. We've all been arrogant in some area of our lives. All that is pride. We've all suffered from it. Sin flaws us all. And we ought to hate that. It's okay to hate sin. It's okay to hate it in your own life. But then what you do next is what's key. We need to be conforming to his character. How do we fix it? Well, first of all, we can't fix it. That's why Jesus had to go and fix it. We don't have it within ourselves to deal with it, but he did. And our life now becomes a lifelong process of sanctification once we've given ourselves over to him. But we focus on him, and we focus on others. And through that process, he begins to correct and to conform us to his character. I'd like to read one final passage, and it's rather long and I didn't practice it, so I guess we'll have to suffer through it together. Mm-hmm. But it's Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation in love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, and united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind toward one another, and regard one another as more important than yourself. Somebody pick this up.
Do not regard, humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. That was it.
Go to the next one.
Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
There's our example. If Jesus, Lord of the universe, God all-powerful, so immense, so awesome that we cannot even conceive it, limited himself to the form of a mere human being to do what had to be done to bring us into relationship with himself. That's our example. That's our model. As we walk with him, that's the way he will teach us to be. And as we do that, we're going to see something. We're going to see that some things don't matter. We're going to see that the way we look doesn't matter so much. We're going to see the way we walk or talk doesn't matter so much. We're going to see that a lot of the trivialities that we get so upset about within ourselves really don't matter. And you know what? We may even find that those things that we think are imperfections, those things that we think take away from who we are or make us less, perhaps in the eyes of others, are actually the very things that God will use. Those imperfections become perfections when God gets a hold of them. Have we not seen it? So, as we wrap it up today, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of who you are. But instead, thank him. Thank him for the way that he's made you, and ask him how it is that you can love others the same way that you love yourself. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for giving us a new perspective, a perspective on how it is that we're to live this life, and turn away from this really self-centered mindset that it's so easy for us to have and that our society promotes in us. Thank you for loving us enough to do what you did, to come and give yourself for us. We just ask you, Lord, to continue to show us, to continue to conform us individually and corporately into your character so that we can be that light and bring even more people into you, because that's what you want. That's how we love you. And we want to love you today with all that we are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I would...